I'd like to now move on to question three. Simply, how prepared are the Welsh Public Services to deliver transformation?
I think they are better prepared than they were a few years ago, but there is still some way to go. And, I mean, you know, sitting here as a citizen, I haven't felt any cuts in public services for me personally. I kind of feel they're still to come, and that actually once they start to kick in, that's when people will start to feel them pinch. So for me, public bodies are putting together plans, deciding what action to take. Once that's done, then the implementation phase will throw up a whole range of new challenges and difficulties.
Okay, thank you for that, Anthony. Mark, can I come to you on this?
Yes, certainly. I think authorities in Wales are reasonably well prepared for this, but they do also need help. If I just describe some of the things we've been doing in Wrexham and then what we're going to move on to do, really. We have been doing targeted financial savings or percentage cuts, and in our proposed 15-16 budget, that's resulted in services having reductions of between 5 and 12%. But alongside that, we are developing alternative delivery models. We have set up a cleaning company which allows income generation. We're working strongly on setting up or engaging with a number of trusts to deliver services, and we've got one mutual which is being considered. That's enabling us to stop directly delivering our leisure service, heritage service, community centres and school crossing patrols have already been transferred to community council to run. We are working very hard on digital and self-service systems, particularly in the revenues and benefits and HR areas. And I think one of the questions earlier was about assets. Well, we have reduced the number of buildings we have. We are doing things on agile working and concentrating on increasing income. But we do need help, and we recognise that. So we have engaged a reshaping partner to bring some pace and appetite to what we're doing, really.
And your findings of wearing the hat of Society of Welsh Treasures, are you finding that replicated throughout your colleagues in Wales?
I think everybody is facing the shared challenge, and I think what's important is that everyone has the shared learning as a result of that, and that in Society of Welsh Treasures we do work hard to get speakers in. We've had seminars with Wales Audit Office. We've got meetings this week with representatives coming along to share what's been happening. In fact, Guy came to a meeting last year to share what was happening in England. We had someone from Essex, I think it was, to keep everybody up to speed with best practice.
Anthony, did you want to come back in on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of emphasise one of the points Mark was making there in terms of they had a partner supporting them in this. And I think it's vital that organisations recognise where necessary that they may not have all of the skills or experience, or is it the necessary drive to be able to push this through? And again, it comes down to the fact that, you know, alongside transformation or whatever, service delivery still has to take place, still required to deliver services to the in some cases, the most needy people in our communities. That has to happen. There's a risk that people get distracted by transformation and don't do service delivery, or concentrate on service delivery and don't do transformation. So I think it is important to recognise where either capacity or capability may be lacking, and to buy that in or get some partnership or some working either between authorities or with other partners.
And that goes back to your opening point that you're making at the top of this webinar about ensuring that you've got the right people, the right skill set to deliver in this sort of in this environment of transformation.
Yeah, and that's another way of obtaining that, through some sort of partnering arrangement.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Deborah. Guy, may I turn to you?
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. So there should be a slide coming up now with some of my thoughts. I'll focus on the first one, really, and this has already been mentioned, really. But when I think back to October 2010 in English local government, there was a real spectrum in terms of planning and the planning horizon. You had those that were on the case and had various scenarios across the medium term for potential funding reduction. So those at the other end who had their heads in the sand and sort of saying, so much uncertainty, we couldn't possibly, you know, because of the uncertainty, we can't plan. But we can't do scenarios. And I'd say, well, actually, that's even more important reason to do scenarios and to plan. And we recognise this, and we published a report called 2020 Vision last October, built on our Tipping Point series of reports, recognising that, that local government has an ongoing and critical debate to be had about its future. And we set out a number of scenarios for what local government might look like, some of them positive, some of them less positive. And whilst the focus was English local government, it's a report that is relevant across local government and perhaps beyond in terms of public services as well. So I recommend having a look at that if you haven't already. But when we think about that planning, what we think about Anthony's point around the sort of the day job, one of the things that, that local government in England has struggled with, particularly with chief officers and others involved in service delivery, has been getting their heads up from the firefighting day to day. It's been really difficult for them to think about next week, let alone next year. And indeed, being able to firefight successfully has rewarded them. I mean, they're in a senior position because of their ability to manage the day-to-day. And I think it all goes back to perhaps what is the emerging theme of the webinar, which is around leadership and the culture of that leadership. And just one final point on this. Those local authorities that have particularly volatile demand-led services, social care, has been a real particular issue within local government. So the ability for effective forecasting, sensitivity analysis, demand management is something that, that many in local government still continue to struggle with.
Guy, thank you for that. And you mentioned a scenario planning, and I'd like to share with the listeners that Councillor Ben Curran of Sheffield, they've adopted the approach of scenario planning. They've taken a scenario where they've got a sort of a member of someone who's 6 years of age, what will happen when they're 36, 56, 96. They've taken a number of scenarios and talked through what impact that would have on their services. But for Cabinet members and members listening in, he said there are five things he would really like to share his learning. First one is political risk. He said the scale and pace of what they went through in Sheffield, no one has ever seen this before. He said it was just absolutely scary. And so you're taking a deep breath and taking a plunge was something you just had to do. But he said, never underestimate the political risk. Financial risk. You need to be assured, he said, that your proposed cuts are actually achievable. We tested at various officer level as well. And we also cross-checked with individual cabinet members. Scrutiny played a huge part in this. Informal scrutiny to start off with, which obviously that's music to the ears of the Wales Audit Office, but informal scrutiny played a big part where they sort of talked various scenarios through, and then they took it to the wider party itself. And then the impact on sort of on the officers in terms of testing, they said, can it really, you know, can that service really be delivered? You know, we're not experts, he said, so we'd rely very heavily on the officer sort of support that we had. But also he said, don't ever ignore your gut instinct. If there was something that I didn't quite understand, he said, there isn't such a thing as a stupid question in the situation. He said, it would be stupid not to ask it. Also, we mentioned about good practice already in this webinar. And he said, we went and saw what other organisations of a similar sort of size and sort of location, what were they doing, how were they doing? We often had discussions like that. And then we've also mentioned about public engagement. He said, we tested our changes with the public right across, particularly some of the library models, because they weren't really conventional. I'm not sure how everyone feels about having a library in a local pub, but when there are no other options, you know, sort of, we did ask the public, and so we felt that was really important. Yeah, Guy, you've got some comments to come back on that?
Yeah, I mean, just picking up on Ina's point around sort of finance scrutiny, we did a report with Centre for Public Scrutiny Wales that was aimed at Welsh local government, was published last July, I think it was, called Raising the Stakes. So that was lots of good practice suggestions around just the whole aspects of member scrutiny in relation to financial planning and financial management. And just one final point to pick up on Ina's comment around Sheffield. Done some work there, and I know the council, and I'm really impressed with the work they've been doing around strategic financial planning, because they've introduced some outcome-based financial planning. And what's sort of alluded to by Ina earlier, but what's really interesting is that it is city-based outcomes. So it doesn't mean that the city council is necessarily delivering or responsible for those outcomes. And I think that's fairly innovative within local government.